What did we do?
Oh, you didn't hear me? I was like, because I always...
No. I did not hear you.
If you're wondering why she didn't hear me, it's because it mutes our mics when our intro is playing. But I thought that it had come back in already. Guess not. Okay. Anyway,
oh,
welcome back.
I always am like, every time we play it, I'm just like, yes. I'm like, it never gets old. I'm vibing.
Yeah. That's what I was like. Anyway. Welcome Insanity. Back, everybody. Welcome back to U Sports. We probably haven't introduced ourselves in a while because we forget. I'm Spencer. That's Caitlin. We're so happy to have you here, and we're so happy to be here on this lovely Friday kind of morning. It's 10:38. I don't know. It's almost noonish.
Brunch time.
Ooh, brunch. Brunch time.
I want
time.
Brunch I so bad.
I want a mimosa so bad.
My two-year-old is turning three tomorrow, and we're doing a tea party for her birthday. And I'm like, can I spike my tea?
Yes.
Can I?
You can. The answer
like,
is always
I
yes.
I feel like a hard, you know, like a hard tea, a hard iced tea. That's a thing,
I
isn't
like
it?
This. Yeah, girl. Twisted okay. tea.
Well, we're I'm going to do it.
Twisted teas.
Yeah, literally. And first of all, before you do anything else, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, love us, hate us, whatever. But make sure you like and subscribe.
You don't have to
because
hate us,
we're
though.
Really cool. No, actually, like if you, but like if you do, just like
that's
walk
really
away.
Unnecessary. Yeah,
turn around, walk away.
If you hate us, I do want to remind you that there is an option to not watch us. I know
you can click out of it.
Crazy concept. If you
but,
hate
like,
women,
if you wanna, if you
and
wanna
you hate
put
women talking. Why are you watching? True. Why did you click on our video if you know that you hate when women talk?
And maybe I you also should go to just therapy want to instead. Remind you that if you do hate us, you commenting 15 times and watching the whole video does benefit us.
Yes. So you can do that.
I'm fine with that. Go, honestly, do your thing. But, like, be nice about your hate because, like, I will cry, so.
Like, sticks and stones may break my bones and words will always hurt me, so.
Words will also break my bones because I will jump off a bridge. Oh, that's dark. Sorry.
But actually, so, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to say this because I've learned that a lot of you men really don't like women and that's so great for you, I suppose.
It's true.
But again, there's no reason for you to be here. Okay. You are not our target audience, whether you believe that or not. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Here's our target audience. Girls and men who are okay with girls. Men who are respectful to girls.
Men who really like basketball and are like, I love hearing a different opinion on basketball.
Oh, I love that. Yep. That's, but if
we
you're a man
men. And we have
who
a lot
hates
of you,
women.
So thank you.
Skedaddle. Yep. I agree.
Scram. The doors
out of here
that way.
Ejected. Double tech. You get out.
Flagrant. Flagrant two.
Punch in the face.
Suspended.
Leave. Suspended all episodes. See you later. Tell you get therapy.
Every episode. Yeah. Until you work out whatever issues you have going on. Anyway, moving on. We wanted to talk about, obviously, and I'll put the banner up here for everyone. The Thunder get their revenge last night against the Cavs. I want to start this off by saying, before anything else, and Caitlin agrees with me, nowhere in our last episode did we say that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was a bad player, okay? We said we don't particularly, usually, love his game.
Ever.
Okay. Ever.
Oh, I was going to say, you're right. I thought you were going to say that we don't love foul grifters. I was going to say ever.
Oh. Yeah, but we don't love foul grifters mostly. Ever. Most of his game, I'm not a fan of. Does that mean he's a bad basketball player? No. Okay. He is a phenomenal basketball player who is having a star season. You can quote me saying that. You can clip me saying that. Because a lot of y'all did not have your listening ears tuned in and said that we were the worst podcast ever. And then you tried to come to your man's rescue saying that he's not a foul grifter when he openly admitted that it is a skill of his this week. Okay. So the two things can be true at once. He can be a great basketball player who also likes to draw fouls. Okay.
Well, like and James so, Harden. And it's funny. Yes. And so what I was going to say too, is that it's really funny because I did see a lot of people be like, you know, like, if you're going to talk about Shea, make sure you talk, like, not just to us, but in general.
Yeah.
If you're going to talk about Shea, make sure that you talk, you know, about Luka, about Trae Young, about Embiid, about Harden.
Oh, have we? Have we?
You know, we have. And it's funny because I'm like, we can't talk about every foul grifter in every single episode. But I'm like,
we've earlier talked about in the each season, of those people.
Yes, I'm like, earlier in the season, we talked about how Luka's one of the greatest scorers currently in the NBA, but he flops and he whines a whole crap lot, like a whole crap load. And we've talked about Embiid being the most, yes, oh my gosh, Trae Young, one of the best passers that we currently have. My guy's averaging like freaking 14 assists per game this year. He's insane. Not a great shot right now, but incredible, incredible point guard. Great, great shot creator. He's amazing. He foul baits. He does. It's just a thing.
He loves it. It's just a fact.
James Harden. He is the OG foul grifter. He is the OG kick the foot out from the 3-point line and throw yourself back to
get
an and one.
To get a 4-point play.
He's the OG. Listen, we talk about these people all the time. It is not just SGA. And we have actually talked about earlier in the season how SGA is actually having less free throws per game this season than he has in a while. Literally, yes. Just two seasons ago, he was averaging over 10 free throws a game. Like, that's insane. I'm sorry, but like for a guard, that's crazy.
And he had 5 last night. And the thing is with me is I could care less if you're getting, we talked about this last episode though. We could care less if you get to the free throw line. Naturally, you're going to have more free throws if you do drive a lot more. I only care when I am watching a game and I am seeing purposeful foul baiting.
Exactly.
Like I cannot stand it. Doesn't matter if it's SGA, Embiid, anyone, any single person. If I see your leg kick out, if I see you push off, if I see you wrap your arm, like any of that nonsense.
And then like throw your head back and do all the antics. Yeah.
I can't stand it. Okay. Even like Nuggets fans will say it, like, because luckily we are blessed and no one really does that on our team. But after Jokic has been fouled like 500 times and doesn't get one call, he'll do it occasionally because he's like, dude, and they finally call it. Okay. So, and no one likes it there. So I just, as two individuals don't like foul baiting, doesn't matter who it is. SGA had a phenomenal game last night. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. He had 40 points in 29 minutes, 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 65.4% from the field, only 2 turnovers. So again, you guys can be nice.
And I literally said yesterday, I was like, Of course, SGA is going to have the most beautiful, clean game
efficient
of his career. Yes. After we talk about his foul baiting game against the Wizards. And he really did. He had an incredible game. I legitimately yesterday was like pissed off because I was like, ew, why does he look so good? He's smooth. He's efficient. It pissed me off because I was
you
like,
you want to know why, Caitlin?
Be so for real.
It's because the Cavs watches you sports. The Cavs defense just isn't as elite as the Wizards, clearly.
Ah, I knew it. Freaking knew it. They're not even as physical.
They're not on the same tier. Okay. This was a game. Okay. I had missed the first 15 minutes. I came in, I got off work at around 6 minutes left in the second quarter, and the Cavs had scored 33 points. And I said, poor K, someone give me 4Y. Someone give me the Spark Notes version. And basically, it came down to the Thunder's elite defense, which of course, both of these teams are the top defenses in the league. The Nuggets saw how important turnovers are and taking care of the ball on Wednesday night against the Rockets. They forced so many turnovers. And the Thunder forced how many? Yeah, the Cavs ended with 21 turnovers and the Thunder only had 6. So the Thunder were bothering the ever-living daylights out of them, okay?
They just, they like, they're couldn't such get a anything. Good, yes, they're such a good, like, cohesive defensive team. Everyone on defense is always on the same page. Your perimeter defenders, Hartenstein on the inside. Like, everyone is on the same page. Everyone knows where the ball is. Every possession, everyone is moving cohesively. And mind you,
they didn't have Hartenstein or Chet. Oh, like, so we know that exactly, they've had Chet out. But even Hartenstein was out this game. So I think a lot of people were thinking it was going to be a scheduled loss. Just like Nuggets play Rockets. I think like a lot of us were really excited for this matchup. And then we had Jokic and AG out. So it's like one of those things where you just don't expect them to do well. And then you have Hartenstein out and you still do fine. Clearly, they were shooting like, I don't know what happened to the Cavs. Okay. Because they're a top defense usually. And the Thunder were shooting 50% from the field. And this was at the end. Most of the game, they were shooting almost 60%. And
yes, Cavs defense did get a tiny bit better.
Yes.
That's about it. I say a tiny bit.
Just a tad. But even like the Thunder only ended with 11 free throw attempts. They were 90%, 10 for 11. And the Cavs were 17 of 21. So they even, as you can't even complain like, well, the Thunder had 15 more. No, like it was just a total
beatdown,
demoralizing defeat. Yeah, beatdown. Obviously, yeah. Shea was the lead in that. He had, I think, 25, something like that at halftime. So he was having an incredible night. I think he'd only missed like 2 or 3 shots up to that point. He was playing incredible. His, you know, his sidekicks, you know, J-Dub. And he had 19 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Lou Dort with 22 points.
I know. Their entire team was just like beautiful. They were all scoring for the most part. Everyone was incredibly efficient. I would say that Aaron Wiggins and J Will and J Dub. J Will, they weren't doing super awesome, but I mean, literally, you have SGA shooting 65%, J Dub shooting 57%, Lou Dort 72%, Alex Caruso was 100% from the field. Like, these guys were just like going crazy.
I just wanted to bring up too, like, based off of this Thunder game and the Houston game. A lot of people were, I was complaining earlier in the year, and again, we are Nuggets fans, so I will end up talking about them a lot just because that's my team. I was complaining that earlier the Nuggets needed to trade for, you know, we needed a 3-and-D guy specifically on defense because the perimeter defense was so bad. And a lot of people were telling me, like, no, if we get LaVine, like, we'll just outscore everyone. Defense isn't that important if we outscore. If you haven't noticed, the teams that are at the top of each conference, crazily enough, have the best defenses. Houston, who's only number 2 in the West, okay, demoralized Denver with all the turnovers and steals they were forcing upon us again. Yes, we didn't have Jokic and AG. Those are two important guys we need when we have our defense, when we need to get offense going, which we didn't, and defend on the other end. But you have Houston who, you know, they had us down like 26, like most of the game. And then you have, you know, the Thunder who are up 30 most of the game. Again, 30 points off turnovers. Like, if you don't, I don't know how to speak to you in simpler terms, that defense is so, so, so important in being a dominant team. Yes, offense is as well, but we'll talk about them a little later because we're going to go through the standings. The Orlando Magic are 4th in the East right now, which again, we know the East, like after the top 3 to 4 aren't super competitive. They are third to last, I believe. I have it written down, so let me look it up. They are the 3rd worst offense in the league, the Magic are. Yep. And they are 1st in clutch time defense and therefore are 4th in the East. So I am a big person.
They actually just moved to 5th in the East because of the Bucks yesterday.
Oh, okay. Either way,
they're literally just a half game back between the Bucks.
Yeah, to have the 3rd worst offense in the league, and because
and to be
you have
literally
such,
sitting there in the standings,
you have such good defense. And so I just wanted, like, So when you, especially when you get two teams like this, that are clearly, we're not dumb, the best teams in the NBA right now, they are playing the best and they have been playing the best. The Cavs get whooped because
I did not expect that. Like, I did not expect the game to go like that because, and you know, I was like, OKC only lost by seven when they played the Cavs a couple of weeks ago or like a week ago or whatever it was. They only lost by seven in Cleveland. And I was even saying like that was a very, I would say not like crazy environment, but it was, you know, it was probably like close to a playoff type environment. And so for them to only lose by seven, and I have been speaking so highly of the Cavs, like they really are such a dominant team.
Oh yeah,
they've been losing a lot of silly games lately. Like the couple of games that they've lost lately have been really silly games to lose. So well, I don't know. It was just
they tried to go like smaller ball at one point because like no one was really working for them. And I am looking now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. They played 14 guys last night.
They were 14. Trying anything. They were trying to make anything happen.
And the lowest amount of time played was like 7 minutes. That's fine. But like the rest of the times were 12 minutes and up. So people were getting these people that you literally don't hear about playing were getting minutes. You know, Evan Mobley did not do great. He only played 18 minutes, minus 24, 2 for 7 from the field. Donovan Mitchell was a minus 28. Again, like that doesn't always tell the story. He was 3 for 15.
No, I was going to say 8 points. I was talking to Jason about it and I was like, literally, who would have like come into this game and been like, Donovan Mitchell's going to be the most inefficient MF-er in this game. Like he's going to, like he really just was so not himself. And I know that a lot of people have been talking about how Donovan Mitchell has maybe been having like not a bad season, but a season a little bit worse than he has been having in the past. He's been struggling a little bit, which isn't a bad thing because their team is doing incredible.
Up and down.
It is. He's very inconsistent this year.
Yeah, because he just had against the Pacers 35 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 assists.
Exactly. Yes.
But he's clearly...
But his averages are down because of the roller coaster.
And I think it's honestly that he gets bothered by elite defenses. Because, you know, we went against Denver, or they went against Denver. It's an offensive shootout. Okay, he made Jamal Murray look like a punk. And... it was embarrassing. And then both games against OKC, you know, he had 11 points against OKC the first time and 8 points last night. And if you're going to be in the finals or in the Eastern Conference finals, and
you're going to be playing an elite defense,
you're playing an elite defense, bestie. And if you can't figure out how to get your shot off anyway, or how to create that separation and how to make tough shots, then it's not going to be a fun time for you, Donovan.
Well, and he's normally a really, like, he's normally a really great, like, facilitator, shot creator, just, like, kind of leader on the court. Yeah. And I just, like, he was just lost yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Well,
yes, it was yesterday.
Yeah, last night. And a lot of people have had issues in the past with him in the playoffs because... Not always, but it just seems like the weight is like on him. So if he like doesn't have a perfect shooting game, then the whole team is screwed. Yeah. But you have to, like, you're the guy, like you're one of the guys. So you have to, in these games, like rise up to the occasion. That's why people joke about Jamal Murray all the time. They're like, oh, if he has a bad game, that how it used to be. If he has a bad game, like that just means your team sucks. Because when the team is good, Jamal Murray is, you know, rising
to the occasion.
He plays
really well.
Yeah, exactly. So like we would say that all the time last year. If we lost, Jamal Murray had a bad game. It's like, well, that just means your team sucks. So having Donovan Mitchell do that, like against the best teams, is not a good sign for like playoff hopes. But again, like, the Cavs won the first time around, even with him scoring, you know, only 11 points. The Thunder are not always, because again, once you look at the final score, it's hard to tell after garbage time is factored in. Yeah. The Thunder are, in my opinion, are not going to be shooting 60% from the field every single game. I think they were, had an at home game. The crowd was insane. You have the number, you know, both number one teams, they were hyped. So I'm sure that had a lot to do.
That's what I was going to That's what I was going to ask you is, like, I wonder if OKC maybe thrives a little bit better in, not in enemy environments, but maybe in, like, you know, playoff or enemy territory and stuff like that. Maybe they thrive a little bit better off the hate you have. There's such a, and I mean this in, like, in a good way. They're such a cocky team. Like, they, every single one of them thinks that they're the best in the world. And in order to be the best in the world, you have to think that you're the best in the world. You know, like, you actually have to, you know, put it out there and play like it.
Me and my mom say this about, like, surgeons. Surgeons are almost always narcissists. Well, you kind of have to be a narcissist. You kind of have to be, to be cutting into people's butt. Yes, you have to think you're perfect and tell yourself that you are. So I understand.
And so, yeah. And so that's kind of like my, like, OKC has, like, this, you know, this thing. Their whole team's thing is that, like, they're all besties, they're all goofy, they're all cocky and confident, and, you know, like, they F with the reporters, and, like, they joke around 24/7, and they're corny and all that thing. But again, that was something that worked for the Grizzlies 2 years ago as well. That was huge for them, was, like, this cocky confidence that, like, literally the just led them through the playoffs. Yeah. Yes, you know, and it's something that's, I think, really important. And so I wonder if maybe the Cavs kind of were lacking that. They came into this OKC arena. And, you know, OKC fans, they're so effing hyped to be here. They are so effing hyped to have, you know, one of the best teams in the league right now as a small market team. And they know that they've got 16 first round picks in the coming years, and that all of their guys are literally 26 and under and all this stuff. Like, they've got the world at their fingertips.
They have no reason to be worried about anything.
Exactly. So I wonder if the Cavs, like, maybe came into this, like I said, enemy territory, playoff type environment, and they start playing. People are starting off not shooting well. Like, the team started off not shooting well already, and OKC was already, like, OKC started shooting, like, 80% for the freaking first quarter. They were going crazy.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if, like, the Cavs literally were just, like, completely demoralized, completely thrown off, and just could not get it together the rest of the game. Because that's what it looked like. Yeah, they literally 100%. Just looked like they were a jumbled mess. They did not look like the cohesive team that I'm used to seeing.
And again, once you start having turnovers, it seems like they won't stop. Like, once you start having excessive turnovers, it feels like that's the story of the game. And like, no matter how hard you're trying, I witnessed it with my own eyes. Okay. The Houston Rockets had the Nuggets miserable with the turnovers. Mm-hmm. And like, even at one point, I forgot who it was. Might've been Dylan Brooks, just literally, like, basically grabbed the ball out of Jamal's hands. And like, he literally just went like, what do you want me to do? Like, what am I supposed to do here?
What do you need from me here?
So I think once you get that mindset of, like, damn, we need to stop turning the ball over, it's almost like you're overthinking it. I hate that it's an Eastern Western Conference matchup. So that's it for the season. You know, they've played each other twice. So
they
won't see more.
The series. Yeah.
I know. It's crazy, though. Just like, obviously, we talk about it. The Thunder are just so damn deep, and they will be forever. But
did you see the rumors that they want to get Cam Johnson?
Well, what do you need him for? Now they said the Cavs are getting it. Listen, do you know how much I hate?
No, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. The Cavs. I meant the Cavs. I was like, what do they need him for?
But the Thunder
were up
there originally, and I'm like, what? Yeah. You guys leave something for the rest of us, okay? Like, you're number one. What are you needing to improve?
Why do you need 46 great players?
World domination? Like, goddamn. But I was going to say, bitter. I guess I think that there's a certain lineup with the Thunder that, like, they have the, like, you know, number one defensive rating. And then the lineup of MPJ, Murray, AG, Russ, and Jokic have a number one defensive rating when they're on the floor. So everyone's like, I'm dying. They're like, we need this in the playoffs. And like, true Nuggets fans are like, no, we don't, because the bench is going to come in and the Thunder's bench are going to go on a 33-4 run, maybe a 33-1 run.
You keep that theories to yourself, my dear.
Oh, I wish every day that we had gotten Alex Caruso. Like, annoying as Lu Dort is, he is an amazing defender. Alex Caruso is, I think, the best perimeter defender in the league. And the Thunder are just full of tryhards. But that's good when you want defense, because defense is all about effort.
Listen, Every time I watch them play defense, I just get pissed off because I'm like, how? I don't want to play you. You're too good. I don't. And it's annoying.
I don't have time for that. So we just want to say, all of you Thunder fans that got mad, please watch a video and put on your listening ears before you complain after seeing 2 seconds. Because I think we all know that anything that you watch can be taken in a different context if you don't watch the rest of it. Okay?
And shout out to the nice Thunder fans that were like, agree to disagree. Yes. Great job, guys. Appreciate you.
Yes. Really love your content. I'm a Thunder fan, though, so ouch. And they were being so kind. And I was like, I fear you guys are actually nicer to me than you should be. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. We love you.
So on to more things that are probably going to get Thunder fans mad. But this is going to be... This is discourse. I texted Caitlin and said, I'm going to like attempt to not be biased and just talk about the facts and the stats. But obviously, Nikola Jokic is my GOAT, and I believe who should win a fourth MVP. And I ask you before we get into this talk, if you're a Thunder fan who, you know, or any fan actually that like is wants Shai to win the MVP, I really, really want to know respectfully in the comments without tearing Jokic down. Okay. And without using the excuse of best player, best team, because we're going to talk about how we think that's dumb. So like without the standings, why you think he deserves it over Jokic? Because as I was talking to Caitlin before we were recording, and I was like, Shai is having a star season. No one is taking that away from him. He is having an incredible season. He's averaging better than some of the greatest of all times did, you know, in their best season.
Yeah.
Okay. He's having an incredible season. No one is saying he's not. But Jokic is having a greatest of all time season and is actively beating records every single week. He was the first player to get to, what was it, 15,000 points? I reposted it. So Nikola Jokic, in his 709th game, was the fastest in NBA history to reach 15,000 points, 7,500 rebounds, and 5,000 assists. Okay. The closest, or the person that was ahead of him, was Larry Bird in 799 games. And let's talk about it. Jokic didn't start when he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial. Okay. So it's the fact that he reached these numbers 90 games ahead of Larry Bird, who was him. Larry Bird was coming into the league as him.
As
he was
him.
Coming in as a starter. Okay. Jokic was not a starter for 3 to 4 years. Okay. So for him to be the fastest without being a superstar to begin with in 90 more like sooner games is insanity. Okay.
Not to mention they said that he currently has more wins than any player like in their career since they started or whatever.
Which again, then we go back to the 2023 playoffs where he averaged 30 points, 13.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists. This season he's averaging 30.6 points, 13.2 rebounds, and 9.9 assists. This man during the regular season, the first half, not even the second half, is averaging literally 0.1 point away from a 30-point triple-double.
Triple-double. Yeah.
So I just, with taking out the best player on the best team, which Shai is, I'm not saying he's not. How... Unless you're just saying that Jokic has already won it too much, is he like not earning of this reward? And I know a lot of people were saying, well, Luka was averaging blah, 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 blah last year, which I get. And even if Luka's, you know, numbers were better, why are we going to keep making the same mistake of seeding? Why does that matter? Because in my opinion, if you can average a triple-double with shitty teammates, which you probably have if you're that amazing of a player and not the number one seed, then you're working overtime.
Well, and what I was going to say too is that like a lot of this doesn't really even account for the fact that, like, he would probably be averaging like 12 assists per game if it weren't for the few Nuggets games where his teammates literally just weren't making any shots. He had like multiple, like he had multiple games where he had only had like 4 assists, 5 assists, 6 assists.
I'm going to start
like that because of that, because his teammates were not making their shots.
I'm going to start tracking would-be assists by Nikola Jokic.
No, I literally thought about that. Yeah.
Because if Nikola Jokic has a game where he's got low assist numbers, it's never because he wasn't passing the ball. Okay.
99% of the time, it's because, like, as a team, they shot like 30%.
So when you go again, they're close. Okay. Shea and Jokic. Shea is the number one leading points with points per game. Okay. He's 31.6 averaging. Jokic is 30.6. So one exact point underneath. And then we go to rebounds, where Jokic is not only doubled, he's like double, one and
almost
a half times.
Tripled. Yeah.
Shea is averaging 5.4 rebounds per game. Jokic is averaging 13.2, which let's include the random game where he only had 2 rebounds randomly because he like didn't have to play. And then we go to assists per game where Shea is averaging 6 and Jokic is averaging 9.9, 0.1% away from 10. And then even steals. Shea is averaging 2. Jokic is averaging 1.8. Blocks per game, Shea's at 1.1, Jokic is at 0.6, not even a full point under. So I just don't understand why.
And I just want to say, because a lot of people, and I'm going to, because we were talking about this with like looking at it like in an unbiased way. And so I'm going to say, like, I am all there when it comes to like making sure that you take into account defense for MVPs. I think that that should make sense. Shea being as small as he is, averaging a little bit over 1 block a game, is pretty incredible. That's pretty great. He's a guard. He's not, you know, he's not a big or anything like that. He's not down low a lot. He's an amazing shot creator. He is a very smooth basketball player, incredibly athletic. But being the best player on the best team, just, it doesn't mean you're the most valuable player. It doesn't, you know, I'm like, this team is so good that they can win games without Shea. Shea is not necessarily a necessity in every single second of the game.
Because they're so deep. But I also just wanted to say, I did not want to end this without saying that Jokic is shooting, averaging 55.5% from the field. Shea is averaging 53.1. That's incredible for both. I just want to say.
Amazing.
Jokic is still in, you know, the top three of percentage by 3 points. He's shooting 47.1% from the three, and Shea's at 35.2. Okay. So when we're going off these, like, I don't know how you can read those numbers and say Shea's better, first of all, because Jokic is doing a little bit of everything. And that's, Caitlin and I have said this all the time. To me, an MVP, again, is not just doing amazingly for like himself for the team, but is making everyone else incredible. Okay. He's rebounding. Jokic is averaging literally over 13 rebounds a game. That's getting second chance points. That's keeping a team from getting second chance points. And then when you're almost averaging 10 assists a game, that is creating looks for your teammates. You're facilitating. Yeah. You're making your team better. And Jokic has said this before, why he loves passing so much. He says a basket makes one person happy, an assist makes two people happy. And I love that. And same with like what you're saying, Caitlin. You know, the Thunder are amazing, and that's okay. Like, that's why I fought with Dallas fans a
Me
lot
too.
And I didn't get it because they were like upset that they had good players on their team, and I'm like, Jokic just raises the floor. I almost made a joke the other day. I was like, do you think that Jokic could revive D'Lo? Because it seems like at this point that he can revive any. Well, he's revived Russell Westbrook to literally the numbers Russell Westbrook was damn near hitting in his peak.
Yeah.
And he's 36.
His literal prime,
And they took the numbers, and in the NBA, with Jokic on the floor, the Nuggets are first in offensive rating and defensive rating in literally every category.
Yeah.
And they are 28th and 28th to 30th as soon as he steps off. So that is my favorite thing. Once you see that, I'm like, this is like literally the most obvious thing in the world.
That there shows value. That shows that you are the most valuable to your team. Your team is literally the worst team in the league when you're not on the floor and when you are on the floor.
So that's why it's like, that's not me trying to sound biased. It's just like my math is mathing to me. And so I don't understand, like, because I'm not trying to be rude to Shea. I know he's incredible. I just don't know how you can give it to him over Jokic unless you're just saying it is because Jokic has had three and because of his like standings. But again, like, we're fourth and we're one game back from third, I believe.
Yeah.
One and a half maybe, and like two games back from second.
Yeah. We're one and a half back and then three back from second. One and a half back from third, three and a half. Or
we were two back from Houston when we played Houston, and then because we lost to Houston, they got another win, but they lost last night because they had a back to back. And Nuggets play tonight. So if Nuggets play tonight, which I think we should, we're playing the Heat, we'll see. Then we'll be two back from Houston, which is the second seed. So if you're going off like, well, we're not seeded high enough. You know, when everything was going on with Luka and everyone was upset about it last year, they were in like a ninth seed, right? An eighth seed, I think, because they started rising towards the end of the season.
Once they got PJ and Gaff,
that changed their season. So I understood what they were saying, but it's like the same reason, like Cade's not in the conversations.
Yeah. Or if he is, Cade's, you know, he's ninth or 10th just because he's had an incredible season.
So it's like for not me, that Luka didn't deserve it last year, but it's just like, I understand, but it's like, you can't use that, in my opinion, as a defense against Jokic this year, just because he's not the one seed right now. Right. I mean, I don't think, to be fair, I don't think anyone's catching Thunder. I think Thunder are firmly with the one seed. They're like eight games ahead or nine games, but
yes.
So and that's my opinion.
I was going to throw something in there.
Without tearing like anyone down.
Well, yes. And so for me, I'm going to throw in an opinion that like maybe OKC fans or SGA fans are seeing that maybe we're not, is like the non-basketball side of things. And I feel like that kind of is important for maybe an MVP. And maybe that's just me because I'm an emotional and psychological person and I think about everything in that way. But like, you know, I can see it from the standpoint. A lot of people have like the, you know, like, oh, Jokic hates basketball. Jokic doesn't care. You know, this, that. If Jokic didn't care, he wouldn't be as good as he is. And like, if this is him not caring, I would be terrified to see him care.
But Jokic hates the media, and he said this. Like, when everyone asked, like, did you watch, like, any, like, parts of your finals run? Because everyone's like, man, he hates basketball. No, he hates, like, doing it as a job. Like, I think, well, like, I think he enjoys, like, the competitive nature.
He doesn't
but
like the extra parts of it.
Yeah. And Jokic literally said, of course, if you're a fan of basketball, you watched our run. He's like, of course I watched highlights. Like, if you're a fan of basketball, like, of what we did was incredible. Like, so that narrative is really old and tired and ugly.
But so, and exactly. And so what I was going to say is that, like, maybe, like, people with that mindset, what they're thinking.
Yeah. Which and a lot like, of people still have it.
Yes. And like for you and I kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the season when we were playing really bad, when we had a really rough start. We were talking about like, I wish more than anything, and I know that he's not like that. And I know that he, you know, says he's not like that. And I get that. And I respect that. But you do have to be a leader and like, you know, talk to your players and like your players should listen to you. And they do listen to him when he does speak up. But like for Shea on like the whole most valuable player, in that sense, he kind of is the most valuable player to his team in the sense that every single person on his team listens to him, respects him. Yeah. He coaches them up. He talks to them. He hypes them up and things like that. So like purely from like a leadership standpoint, I would say that SGA probably blows Jokic out of the water because Jokic is there to play basketball and be a great teammate. But he doesn't, again, he doesn't like the like additional shit that comes with basketball. And that kind of includes like being like a leader that coaches people up and, you know, stuff like that. He just doesn't have that personality. And so maybe that's one of the other things that people are looking at is the fact that Shea is like a loud leader to his team as opposed to a quiet leader.
I was just gonna say, I think Jokic is the most valuable in his team, but with he's like a lead by example. Like yes, it seems like
exactly
like Russ said, he makes the job easy. Yeah, he's like, Jokic makes the job easy for everyone else, so I want to make his job easy. You know, Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, like all those people, like you see them like trying to emulate his game. AG, when AG plays the five role, he is amazing because he's like, oh, he just like does what Jokic does.
And it's like Steph Curry. That's exactly what people say about Steph Curry and what they've been saying about him. Are you good?
Yes, just give it a second because it's going to. It's just going to do the thing where it glitches for a second because I was getting a call. Okay. I think we're back.
Yeah, you're good. So like, that's what people were saying about, you know, Steph Curry back in 2015, when he got his unanimous MVP, is that like, he was someone that every single person looked at and they were like, I want my game to be like that. I want to be the best shooter in the world. I want all my teammates to respect me. I want to have this training, you know, regimen that every single person wants to copy because it's so good and I'm the most in shape and I'm a great leader and my teammates love me. And like, I think that's why, like, that's where I say like Jokic is such a quiet leader because he's not that guy that like loves the media and is out and crazy in the media the way that SGA and OKC are, the way that Steph Curry and his team were
back in like their championship.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like they eat up the media. Jokic is someone that like, he's a quiet leader in the locker room where like he talks to these guys, the guys respect him, the guys want to be like him. They copy his pregame routines, you know, like they do all this stuff. And so maybe that's just like, for us as Nuggets fans, it's something that we see daily that people outside of Nuggets fans might not see.
I say this all the time, like especially with players like as soon as I learn more about a player, I tend to, you know, humanize them more. And same with like Jason Tatum, like he really got on my nerves. And again, whenever I say this, it's never I'm saying they're bad at basketball. Okay. Yes. He just used to get on my nerves and I don't really know why. I think people say that about Jokic a lot. I watched the starting five corny. And I was like,
some people love the corny. I don't love it, but like I'm not going to judge you.
And then I saw the Starting Five documentary and it was like really cool to see inside his life. And I like gained a respect for him. So
you humanize them.
Yes. That's why I said, I was like, I start to like humanize them a little more once I learn more about them. So like same, you know, with like the Orlando Magic, like, and I was like really into their team this year. Like I develop like a better appreciation. So when you have like Jokic, I understand teams that don't watch anything, like they're like, well, he's just slow, blah, 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 blah.
It's hard to connect with him.
Yeah. But I'm like, he is like a family guy. Like he is from a small town in Serbia where they could care less about being famous. Like,
yeah,
that's not what they're about. And to me, that's more respectable because I'm like,
I love it.
You're not trying to sit here and be the coolest guy with the coolest clothes. Like he just like, he's here to play basketball.
Good at basketball.
I can't. If I hear him say, like, I'm so sorry. This is now I'm done being biased or unbiased. If I hear that like man say one more dumbass shit saying like that. Oh man, you know, it's just all about consistency. Like, I swear to God.
I'm so dead.
Stop it. Stop it.
I'm going to throw in one more random
Cut
thing because
out.
I know that we're talking Shea versus Jokic, but a lot of people are also forgetting that Giannis still exists. And Giannis is actually in a way. He does. And like where the Nuggets are currently the fourth seed.
Yeah.
The Bucks are right now because of their game on, I said yesterday, like 30 minutes ago when we were talking about it, but it was 2 days ago because today's Friday. So on Wednesday, the Bucks played Orlando and they ended up switching spots. That's what happened is because the Bucks beat Orlando by like 25. But so like I have like the comparison stats here. And so this is Giannis versus SGA. Giannis is actually second in scoring, SGA first, obviously, and then Jokic is third behind them. They're all literally incredible. All of them
are
averaging.
Yeah, they're all within like 0.5 and stuff like that.
Exactly. And let's see. Assists. Giannis literally has 0.1 more than SGA. He has 6.1. SGA has 6 rebounds. Giannis is averaging almost 12 rebounds a game. He's averaging 11.8. And SGA is averaging 5.4. Steals, Giannis is averaging almost 1. SGA is averaging 2. Again, I do think defense is important. So for SGA to be averaging 2 steals and 1 block a game as a guard, that is pretty amazing. I will give him that.
It shows effort, yeah.
Absolutely, yes. And Giannis, 1.4 blocks a game, and SGA, again, that 1.1 block a game. Minutes per game, Giannis is playing a tiny bit more, like half a minute, literally half a minute more than SGA. Field goal percentage, Giannis is literally shooting 60% this season. That is efficiency. That's impressive. And then you have 3-point. All right. We do have to mention Giannis is shooting 16% from three this year. from three this year. 16. So that is tragic. All right. That is tragic.
Wow.
SGA is shooting 35%. Free throw attempts per game. Giannis is another one. He's Mr. Run and Dunk guy. He's one of those guys that I swear to God, if he runs and dunks and someone breathes on him, the ref is going to call a foul. So that's something. And he averages a little bit more turnovers. But what I'm saying is that, like, Jokic is in the fourth seed in the West. Giannis is in the fourth seed in the East with technically better stats than SGA in half of the categories, SGA beating him in the other half of the categories, and SGA's first. Like, the whole best player on the best team thing just doesn't work for me because it doesn't always work like that. A lot of the times, the best team in the league doesn't just have this one, and I say a lot of times because, again, you have guys like Jokic, and you have, you know, guys that lead their teams on these Cinderella runs. But
LeBron, like...
Exactly. You know, you have
those guys that are
OKC
those guys.
And the Cavs this year, who are the two number one teams, and both of these teams have guys... Like, have literally multiple guys that are averaging 10 to 20 points per game. You have a whole team.
Elite defenders. Like, they're not, exactly. like, they're elite. They have, like, multiple options of elite scoring and elite defending.
Yes. And so that, like, brings my question. And again, like, I would love to hear people's thoughts about this. Like, literally without shitting on anyone else. I genuinely want to know.
I want to know genuinely, like, how, when you read those things, like, what makes it so, because everyone's like, it's obvious, like, but like, what do you mean by, like, how? Like, again, without shitting on anyone else, like, how are they better?
Yeah, again, exactly. How do those players be better?
My biggest thing is I don't know how you refute the first in every category with Jokic on the floor and second to last or last in every category the second he steps off. Like, that to me is like, hello, but...
Yeah. Because, and I get like I said, best player on the best team just like doesn't necessarily work for me. I mean, I totally get it because like I would say that SGA is clearly the best player on the best team. J-Dub is an incredible player and a perfect second option. But I don't think he's necessarily beat out SGA or gotten to SGA's level the way that I thought that he might this year. And everything like that. But he's like right there. He's incredible.
He's still a couple. He's like, yes,
but like you look at the Cavs.
Maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little bit younger. And then, like, you look at the Cavs, and I'm like, I can't really pinpoint a best player on the Cavs. Like, I don't think that really anyone on the Cavs should be in the MVP conversation because I don't really see who is the most valuable player. Again, because they're all really great and they all work really well cohesively. So, I mean, I think that everyone has a defense to their MVP, like Jokic, Giannis, Shea. Some people are still shouting for Jason Tatum, you know, whatever that may be. But like, I think, like I said, I think everyone has a defense, but I would genuinely like to hear without people being like, Jokic hates basketball. Jokic is boring to watch. He can't be the MVP if he's boring. I'm like, what does that even mean?
He already won it. I've never won. Again, like, I'm sorry, but it does sound really silly when you're coming on and you don't watch any other games. Like, Caitlin and I actively watch, and it's not just about us, but we actively watch 95% of NBA games. And even if there's a big game that I missed, I will go back and watch it. So I'm not just sitting here like oblivious saying like Jokic is the best. No one else can touch him. Like, Shea's having a monster season. Jokic is having a greatest of all time peak, like greatest peak that we might ever see. A lot of people are saying, not just me. So I want to move on because we don't have a ton of time, and I know
we're running out of time.
I know we wanted to end with kind of like who we think might miss the playoffs this year, but I did want to get your thoughts, Caitlin, because you are a Warriors fan.
Oh, you're going to talk about it. Okay. I'm just kidding.
On what those comments were about.
You see, my eye is going to twitch this whole time. Okay. Listen. And I always, every time I talk about how much the Warriors are pissing me off, I start off with, listen.
Listen here.
So first of all, Steph Curry obviously sees all of my tweets because when he spoke to the media yesterday or 2 days ago, he was speaking into my soul. He saw everything that I was talking about. Because if you haven't seen it, and this is like, I keep saying, I am on a roller coaster being a Steph Curry and Warriors fan. I am on a roller coaster right now. Okay, get me off this ride.
And if you're new, Caitlin is from Denver, so she is a Nuggets fan, but she also is a Steph Curry and a Warriors fan, if you're confused on...
I've been following Steph Curry since he was drafted. I literally used to think I was him in high school. Literally, I like led the league in threes on like my JV team when I was a freshman. And like, yeah, I was balling. Okay, anyway, I thought Caitlin I was Curry. Steph Curry. It's true, I am. But like, if you haven't seen the Warriors, and by the Warriors, I really mean Draymond, Steph, and Steve Kerr, earlier in the week / like over the weekend, they kind of like all went on like almost a little media tour, like post-game pressers, and like Steve Kerr went on like a radio show, like their local Bay radio show that talks about the Warriors, and all these other things, doing interviews, just regular media days and things like that. All three of them almost like cohesively said, we are all in agreement that we're not mortgaging our future or giving up the Warriors' future to like give one last swing at a title. All of them sounded sad about it. The way that they all talked about it was almost like they were like in mourning about the fact that they were not going to be doing anything and that they were just kind of accepting everything as is. They, you know, they said the great thing about it is that we're all on the same page. We want to go out on a high note where, you know, the end is near and we all know it, and XYZ. Like, they're all saying these things that like, the Warriors can't give up their future to you know, do one thing. People are saying we need to make trades, but we're all in agreement that the front office shouldn't do anything, and that we're going to, you know, we have to rock this, what's it called? This, what is the word I'm looking for? Roster. Oh my God. And that we have to rock this roster as is. And that's just that. Like, literally they were like, oh, well, doesn't matter. Go team. Like, we'll lose, whatever. It doesn't matter. And like Steph Curry for like weeks now has been just playing sad. He gets on the court and like he steps on the court and looks like he's already losing. He's like, just like sad. And that's
defeated.
And if you know me, you know that like one of my favorite things about Steph and the thing that I talk about all the time is that I love players that play with joy. Russell Westbrook, one of my favorite players to watch because he plays with so much joy, so much happiness, passion. So much hype, passion, exactly. And that is always Steph. That has always been Steph. And now you have this Steph that walks on the court, does his little jumps, doesn't smile. He just kind of is like, it's like he's showing up for a job now. Like he's no longer playing the game that he loves. He's showing up for a job. That's the way that it looks, and that's the way that it's been sounding all week. And so I'm like, if this is the end of it, trade Steph. Give him a chance. Like, you have the best shooter in the world on your team. And like, I get it. I get not mortgaging your future, but no one's saying that you have to trade Pods, Kuminga, and Moody, and Gui Santos, and TJD, and give up all your picks. No one's saying that you have to do that to get one star player. But why couldn't you give up Pods and then give up Moody, who you don't even play, who's been sitting on your bench for 4 years, and then a pick for a great shooter or for a great player? Like, teams were willing to give us a center for two of those like six guys and a couple of picks. That is not mortgaging your future. That is not throwing away your future. Yeah, it's throwing away a couple young guys, but like, you've had these young guys for a long time, and if you're not going to do anything with them, then don't. Like, I'm not understanding why you wouldn't. like trade a couple of the guys, like especially Moody. I almost say like do it for Moody. Moody deserves to be on a team where he gets to play.
He but like,
you
know, better.
Why wouldn't why wouldn't you send guys like Moody and TJD or Moody and Jonas, or I'm sorry, Moody and Pods, and a couple picks to the Wizards for like Jonas Valanciunas? That was literally a conversation. Why would you not do that? Like, if you need a center and you need a big and things like that, why would you not do that? So I didn't understand the whole, like, we're not trading away our future. We're not doing anything to upgrade this roster. We're going to accept it as is. Okay. But then they go and they play the Wolves, and they were up on the Wolves by like 15. And of course, only one by one, because that's what the Warriors do. And this was like their first big win in a very long time. They have not been winning literally, I think, in like a month. Legit. They've had like the worst December and start to January. And then Steph Curry comes out yesterday and is like, if you guys think, like, if you got that I'm okay with losing and being on a shitty roster, like, out of my comments, like, that's insane. Like, all of your little Twitter fingers are crazy. That's not what we said. And I'm like, how is it not? Like, how is that? You guys all literally said you're accepting. Yes, you're accepting your roster as is, and you're not willing to trade away future and future assets in order to get better and give it one last swing at a championship.
Yeah.
You guys have all said the end is near and you're not willing to put anything into it. So like, what do you mean? Like, so what does that mean? I'm not like, are you getting traded, Stephen Curry? Are you all leaving? Like, Steve Kerr was even like, I probably won't even be here in a couple years, but like, you know, if they trade away their future, I think that'd be crazy, even if I'm not there. And so like Steve Kerr's like, you know, talking about how he'll be gone in a couple of years. And I'm just like, I hate you all. I'm on a roller coaster and I'm done with this. Literally tell me what's going to happen. Fix your roster or don't. Like, let me know if I'm going to lose or not. Like, let me know if I'm going to watch you guys lose for the next 40 games. Please. I'd love to know. I'd love to mentally prepare myself for the next 3 months of my life. Thank you.
Let me just go ahead and be disappointed now, so I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, please
later.
Let me prepare it. Let me prepare for it. That's how I feel. Go team.
Go team. Well, speaking of, then this will fit right in because we're going to talk about who we think is going to end up missing the playoffs, and I want to actually start with the West. There we go. Look.
Nice.
I'm going to take
so
off
big.
This one.
In like the nicest way, like just our cameras.
Our faces. Anyway, so here is the standings. Oh, it's over here. Here are the standings. A la the NBA last night, they tweeted up the updated standings. So right now we have OKC obviously comfortably sitting in first, the Rockets in second, the Grizzlies in third, Nuggets fourth, Clippers fifth. Lakers sixth. And then we're going to, then we have the play-in. So I want to take a look at the play-in, Caitlin. I want to take a look at the bottom and hear who you think is going to be in the play-in / missing the playoffs. Do you think the Warriors are missing the playoffs?
Yes. I really at this point, like, and I know I shit on a lot of people that, like, said that they were going to, because I literally had them third. And in the beginning of the season when they were playing really well, they were third. But with their current just like attitudes, and if they're genuinely not going to make a change to their team and they're just going to play sad the rest of the season, there's no way that they can make it to the playoffs. I just don't believe that. I believe that there are teams that want it more and teams that have a little bit more passion and gusto into their team and into their want to win. And if the Warriors are accepting losses, I don't think that they're going to be even in the play-in.
I think it's comfortable to say that the I literally just basically made out with my mic. I think it's comfortable to say that the Pelicans, Jazz, and Blazers are for sure missing the playoffs. I think it's crazy how far the Wolves have fallen. And it doesn't look like they're making a trade. I think, you know, once Dallas gets Kyrie and Luka back, I see them, you know, getting back above the Clippers and the Lakers.
Up.
They're going to climb back up. I see them, you know, in the top five, top six.
I kind of think that the top four are solidified in the West. I kind of think that, like, those
I kind of
genuinely,
agree.
the way that they've been playing and the way that the Nuggets are on this like up and up, I feel like those are the top four. I can see the Clippers falling as I feel like the Mavs will start to climb.
Agreed.
Once they get their guys back.
I think the Clippers and the Lakers could potentially... I think the Lakers are probably going to be in the play-in as they always are. or they're always close to being. Do you think that the Kings or the Suns are going to make the playoffs this year?
You know, The Kings have gone on...
They just beat the Rockets last night.
I know. And it was a great game.
It was insane.
I'm so happy they did that. If De'Aaron Fox would have scored one more point, and I mean one more point, I would have won $250. I was so sad. I was like, go to overtime. Oh. But it's fine. But it was so painful. but the Kings, they're on quite the up and up currently. They're playing really well. They're really cohesive. It makes me sad because I love Mike Brown. So the fact that firing Mike Brown has kind of like led them on
lit
this
a fire
run is crazy.
Under their ass, yeah.
Yeah, literally. So I don't really know about them. They are on this run. It'll be really interesting to see what they do. The Suns, though, I can't say until I see Mr. Nick Richards on their team. If you don't know, the Suns got Nick Richards from Hornets. Is that where he's from? Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a center. He's averaging literally like a double-double in his starts this season with the Hornets. And so it'll be really interesting to see kind of how he fits in with the Suns.
Fits in with them, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, literally, and it's funny because they're saying that like Nurkic, no one can find, they can't find a team that'll take Nurkic or his contract.
Shocking.
I know. They said that they've been like shopping hard and they can't find anyone. They like deep benched him. Like he's had multiple DNPs at this point. And Mason Plumlee's been starting. So I think that Nick Richards will probably start. Mason Plumlee will go to the bench and that'll put Nurkic as like your 14th or 15th guy. And so I'll be really interested to see how them having a center, because again, Nurkic and Plumlee are technically centers. Will Nick Richards fit in better with the Suns? And if he does, and that's genuinely their only problem, I think that the Suns will go on a run and will definitely be in the playoffs. Booker's going crazy.
Well, have you seen that they've been like shopping Devin Booker around almost?
Oh my God, yes. And like Bradley Beal, like, being willing to waive his trade clause or his no trade clause.
So I'm like, I don't know what they're doing. But right now, the Spurs can change. Like, they're really close. Like, the Spurs are, what, two games behind the play-in?
Yeah.
I could see the Spurs getting to the play-in this year. But I think
I don't know if they'll make it out of it.
I think comfortably the Trailblazers, Jazz, and Pelicans are already disqualified.
Yeah, and I think that our seeds 5 through 12 are going to fluctuate.
Be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the Clippers are still in the 5 seed. It's actually kind of annoying, but I expect them to maybe be in the play-in.
James Harden, Norman Powell. I need to have words with you, healthy Kawhi.
Words.
Please stop winning. I'm done with it, friends.
Okay, they're just, I'm not scared of them. Like, they're kind of just there.
Me neither.
You know what I mean?
Like, I know, I just need them to stop winning so they can
I'm honestly amazed that the Clippers and the Lakers are where they are because I just feel like they exist right now. Like,
totally. They're very mid. Okay.
Let's move on. Okay, comfortably in the playoffs. Obviously, we have the Cavs, Celtics, and Knicks. They are going to be in the playoffs.
Yep.
Then we have a lot of who knows what's happening. And can I just say, do you see that the Pistons are in the play-in?
I would absolutely love to see the Pistons go from the worst team in the league to even an 8-seed playoff team. Would love that. That's the kind of shit that I live for. Give me a Cinderella story, baby. I love it.
Period.
I think that they can because I think the Bulls suck. No offense. Sorry, Chicago fans. I think that the Bulls are
no,
a butt
I
crack.
Think I think the Bulls are comfortably out of the play-in.
I agree.
I think the Heat could find themselves out of the play-in, especially we don't know what's going on with Jimmy, but he's not playing.
Jimmy B.
I think that the first through six seeds are not solidified but I think they could, I don't know. I feel like the 1 through 6 pretty much what order like 4 through 6 will be in, I think is kind of iffy, but I
that's
think
what I was
like
gonna say is
these
four
standings
through six
to me,
for sure.
1 through 3 looks solidified. I don't think anyone's catching up to Cavs. I think Boston Celtics are, they remind me of kind of where the Nuggets are after their championship run, where they know they're elite. They don't, you know, it's just a different story when you're the hunted, not the hunters. It's just how
and
it goes.
And I think that they're definitely feeling that this year.
But I don't think the Knicks
the
are
hunted.
I don't think the Knicks are going to overtake them per se. I mean, it could. They've obviously been having
close.
Celtics fans have been going on a little bit of a roller coaster. Magic, I think, could make a really good run depending on when they get everybody
the
healthy
Wagner's
and playing together.
Back.
Yeah, I think Mo and Paolo had only played 5 games together this season so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, then and I mean Paolo's back now, which like shout out to him. I'm really happy that he's back. And, again, shout out to the freaking Magic for hanging in there as long as they did.
So I think fully the Raptors are Raptors Hornets again. Same thing on the other end. I think those three are totally missing the playoffs.
I'm sorry. Did you just tell me that my Wizards are missing the playoffs?
Let's be fucking
6-33. You don't think they can come back from that? You don't think that they're going to go on a 40-0 run?
No.
Isn't that sad that if they literally won the next 40 games, they still would not be a 50-win team? Is that awful?
That's really sad. That's like
I know.
Really, really sad.
I know. It's painful.
Moving on. Do you think the Nets can be in the play-in? But
no.
They're trading Cam Johnson, right?
That's what I was going to say is like if they kept their roster as is and probably if they tried and were not genuinely trying to tank and get a good pick, I think that they could be in the play-in. But I think that they're tanking. If you did not see, can we talk about the game the other day? Hold on. I just have to tell the class real quick.
You can tell the class. I wanted to tell the class. Can we talk about how bad the Eastern Conference is, that the teams that are in the play-in are like literally the Bulls, Pistons, and Heat?
It's painful.
Like, yeah. Goddamn.
And the Hawks. Even the Hawks have not been like super awesome.
Yeah, they have like a good little streak.
Let's just take a peek at that real quick. I mean, no one can see it. I'm going to tell you.
We can. Thank
sorry,
you,
guys.
Though.
You're welcome. I tried. The Clippers on January 15th. What's today's date? The 17th, 2 days ago, Wednesday, beat the Nets 126-67. The Nets ended the game with 67 entire points, whole points, 67, 1, 2, 3, 4 quarters, 4 quarters, 67 points. That's if you know the clock.
Wow.
That's like 15 plus 1, 2. That's like 15, 16 points a quarter.
Wow.
That is tragic. That is tragic basketball. That is very tanking for Wemby-esque.
That is tanking for Wemby. Or no, who are we tanking for right now? Who's the guy?
Capture the flag. Tanking
Cooper
for flag. Yeah.
Or whatever the
Dylan
fuck
Harper
his name is.
Cooper Flag. Apparently, there's several really good guys, but
I know Flag is like I think the number one guy everyone's trying to get right now.
Yeah, so, they were the Nets were 17% from 3, 30% from the field for the whole game.
Yeah, so I see Bulls out of there. Do you think?
Me too.
You think 76ers are making or missing?
No, I think they're missing. I think that with
Do
the
you know
fact
how crazy
that Paul
that is?
George. It's insane. I'm like, you guys literally kind of have a super team.
Literally. We talked about this in the offseason.
But your super team is genuinely super sitting at the hospital, super sitting their butts at home with ice on their knees, super breaking their wrists.
Super never playing back-to-backs. Super never playing in Denver.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Do you think Embiid plays in Denver next week?
Yes.
I don't. Do you think he's playing
next week? No, actually, no. It's next week? Absolutely not. He's healing. He's healing from his last injury 3 years ago. He's healing.
He has not played in Denver since before COVID existed.
That's 5 years, if you guys knew.
Quack. Quack.
Duck.
Quack.
I see a duck.
I see a duck.
Anyway. Yeah, it's tragic. I think that the 76ers are going to stay tragic, and I think that that's just how it's going to be.
I think they're tragic. Everything's tragic. Caitlin and I's lives are tragic.
The team that I'm excited about real quick, though, in the East is I'm excited to see what happens with the Hawks this season because I don't really know where they're going to be. Like, they seem like they're like a maybe a 7 or 8 seed. Like, they win in the play-in and can be a 7 or 8 seed. That's just kind of how they've been playing. Everyone on their team is playing good basketball. Again, and I feel like they can pull it up.
Just mid.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And
anyway, friends.
This has been lots of chatting. I've had fun
today. That's all we have, folks. I had fun today, too. I had fun talking about the MVP talk. I hope you guys did, too. I'm interested and hopefully to get a lot of different opinions on it and a lot of different reasonings for why people want other people that are based in knowledge and intelligence. Totally. Okay?
Yeah, love you so much. Be kind. Give us some stats. Give us some reasoning. Be smart.
We love you guys so much. We're so happy you're here. If you're still listening and you haven't liked, commented, or subscribed yet, do all three of those things. And then while you're at it, turn on the notification bell so you don't miss another episode. We will be back. Probably on Monday because I don't have to work on Monday. So we will probably be back on Monday. Maybe
MLK
Tuesday.
MLK Day, baby.
We'll look at the slate over the weekend and kind of decide, which is why we did not post an NBA yesterday because we wanted to be able to talk about OKC Thunder. And I'm so glad we did. Yeah,
she meant OKC Cavs, but like OKC Thunder. I loved that game.
Plus the Cavs.
Yeah,
the Cavs were there too.
Yeah.
Although it basically was just the Thunder playing.
I was going to say, actually, now that you say that, I think only the Cavs showed up. So
you mean the Thunder.
Sorry. Excuse my language, everyone. Dang it.
See, this just goes to show we've been talking for too long. Anyway, we love
ADHD.
You. We'll see you soon. And have a wonderful weekend.
Bye, friends.
Bye, friends.